Leadership Development, a foundational program for a lifetime of Christian ministry and a way into leadership at Uni Fellowship. There's three key elements: ministry of the word, ministry of prayer, and ministry of people. We are exploring ministry of people as leaders. Now, Christians have been gifted to each other. You yourself are gift to other Christians, and other Christians are gift to you. As we serve the Lord, as we serve others, he's given us and placed around us. It's the Lord himself who enables and equips his people to minister to people, empowered and resourced and gifted by him to be those that build people into the gospel, build up people in it, and build outward as we go, taking the good news to all people. Gifts, giftings, and what is from the Spirit is spoken about at length by Paul in 1 Corinthians. We're going to sit in on a bit of the Corinthians church service, just kind of chapter 12 and 13, as we consider our ministry of people and the area of gifts. From 1 Corinthians, we see the content of being spiritual people. Jesus is Lord. The character of spiritual gifts, a diversity within a unity, and the chief attribute and attitude that binds together and drives what comes from the Spirit, love. The content of being spiritual people. Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to be ignorant. That is, he wants them to understand, to get it, to get something. Well, what's that? Well, turning to the topic of them being spiritual people in verse 1, he needs them to know a vital sign of a spiritual person is their confession of Jesus as Lord. Over against Jesus is accursed, a getting the cross wrong. That confession is the hallmark of the Spirit operating in a person's life. You see, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. He opens our eyes and our hearts to Jesus. The Spirit is the first and ultimate gift given fully and forever. That's who a spiritual person is, not what gifts a person may or may not have. Now, Paul moves from that issue to what of the Spirit's gifting and their operation as God's people at Corinth. Paul unpacks this through chapter 12, aiming to ground the Corinthians in what spirituality now looks like for those who follow Jesus. Our spiritual exercise of what is from the Spirit is one marked by great variety within this amazing unity. This is the character of spiritual gifts. We see spiritual gifts are unique yet universal in verses 3-6. Every Christian has gifts of the Spirit. We see God gives them, so they're good gifts. Even if you wish that you had a different one, the gift you have, it's good, because we see there God's given it. We see spiritual gifts are tools, not toys, in verses 7-13. Given for the common good, that is the benefit of others, the building up of the church. We see there God is the one who decides and chooses who should have which gifts. So you can't create or conjure up a spiritual gift. And we're not to dishonor God by dishonoring our own gifting or that of others. He's given you what you have, so don't squander it, yeah? Use it. And he gives others what they have, so don't get judgy and don't get jealous. In verses 7-13, we see that none of the gifts are exercised by all. Well, we cannot and people shouldn't urge that everyone, you must or should have any of these gifts. Pressure to get a particular gift isn't within line with the character of God. It's not what's being said here. We see also Paul bangs out a long but very limited list of the different ways the Spirit shows himself in a believer's life. The list's point here is to illustrate to the Corinthians the rich mix and oneness of the Spirit's work, you see. It isn't given as a gifts kind of cross section for you to unpack and know what actually every single gift does. It's not a congregation's checklist so that you can become a complete church. nor is it the definitive collection where you try and make sure you find which gift is closest to your abilities and personalities. Verses 7 to 13 also shows us it's all of the same spirit, and the same spirit we share that makes us, he makes us a serving community rather than a consumer group, as we're all part of the body. Now, some important distinctions. Spiritual gifts are different to the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians, and they shouldn't be honoured above or mistaken for them, okay? Fruits of the Spirit are important. Now, it's possible to build others up and appear to have spiritual maturity because of your spiritual gifts, while your Christian life actually is decaying because you aren't growing in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit coming from keeping in step with the Spirit and the casting off of the sinful nature. You see, giftedness actually requires character. Another point as well is our natural talents won't always translate into a spiritual gift. Lastly, under the character of spiritual gifts, we see one body and many parts in verses 12 to 30. Paul illustrates and builds on all that he's just said. We should desire spiritual gifts and try to figure out what ours are. But gifts are not given as a cop-out. Just because you don't have the gift of evangelism, it doesn't mean you're not called to witness. Just because you're not gifted as a deacon, it doesn't mean you're called to serve. We see we need to estimate our gifts. The estimating of our gifts is that not everyone is an I, so don't assume everyone should be like you. Don't assume that you should or shouldn't have certain gifts either. And don't demand a right to use them, yet don't dismiss the use of them. Just because you have a gift, it doesn't mean it needs to be used all the time. Yet if you have a gift that's never used, maybe it needs to be. Now, at the end of verses 20 to 30, there seems to be a differing usefulness of how certain manifestations of the Spirit are for establishing and building up God's church. Did you see that? The greater gifts are not greater because there are some that are cooler, more powerful, more impressive, but because they are those that are more advantageous in making what God says heard and understood, so it's believed and obeyed. And the last thing in that is everybody, everyone, every person is important and valuable to the church, however they're gifted, great or small, yeah? And so this takes us to chapter 12 and the chief attribute and attitude of being spiritual people. Paul shows us in chapter 13 that the thing they haven't got is not who has what gift, but how you use your gift. That's the heart of where the Corinthians were going wrong in their ministry of people, and what we as leaders need to understand. You see, we all have spiritual gifts, but it's not just get this gift or get that gift or go after the greater gifts, but get other person-centered. Operate in love. That is how you minister to people with what you have. So we see in verses 1 to 13, love is more important than gifts. Having no love makes your gift worthless. Even the mightiest deeds for God and the greatest spiritual gifts are useless without love. And we see love is eternal. It lasts longer than any spiritual gift. And that's what Paul wants to get across. So let's be leaders that take the more excellent way by taking our knowledge and our gifts and using them lovingly, yeah? We see the content here of being spiritual people is Jesus is Lord. And we see the character of spiritual gifts is diversity within unity. And the chief attribute and attitude that binds and drives what comes from the Spirit is love, isn't it? So let's minister to people in love.